Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. This is God's word. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? For they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There are a number of threads in this that are instructive for us. The first thing is the fact that Cornelius received a message from an angel, not telling him the gospel, but telling him what to do in order to hear the gospel. If God wanted to use angels in shining clothing to spread his message around the globe, he could do it. But the angel was sent not to give the gospel, but to give instruction on where to go hear the gospel, how to get the gospel, how to have someone come and share the gospel. That has been the testimony of believers from all around the globe of what God is still doing today. One of the most remarkable moves that God is doing right now is in Muslim lands, restricted access places, where people who have been devout Muslims are encountering visions of Jesus or of angels, sending them to where they can connect with believers. Because God doesn't want to work except through his people. So Cornelius was given instructions by an angel. Now this was not some subtle impression he got. One day, verse 3, about 3 p.m, he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and called him by name. And Cornelius, this brave soldier, this professional fighter, was terrified. Okay? He stared at him in fear and said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel gave him instructions on what to do. But the angel also said something that's instructive to us. And this has to inform our theology if we're going to be biblical. It says, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, Cornelius wasn't converted. But nevertheless, he, by God's grace, did things that were pleasing to God. Now, that's only possible, we know from other scriptures, because of God's grace, because God was at work, and God had already chosen beforehand what he was going to do. But please do not overlook the fact that Cornelius, who was a man of prayer and a man who engaged in righteous acts, was allowed by the Lord to do things that were pleasing to God even before his conversion.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us, that we'll remain faithful, and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Cornelius obeys the angelic message and sends 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. When it says a devout soldier, I wonder how much of an influence had that man been on Cornelius? Because notice that when Peter meets with Cornelius, he knows that Cornelius has already heard the story. Verse 36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Well, how would he know that? Well, maybe because he's been living in that region and the news was widespread, but maybe because of this devout soldier whom he sent to go get Peter. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That's verse 38. He says, Cornelius, you already know all that. But knowing all that isn't enough. You have to trust in Jesus, depend upon him in obedient faith in order to be saved. And so Peter proclaims to him the heart of the gospel. Verse 39. We're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. Compare that with 1 Corinthians 15. Do you see the overlay? This is what the gospel's all about. Paul says, I want to remind you of the gospel. This is the most important thing. I want to remind you of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. That's what it's all about. That's what changes everything. That's what makes it possible for us to come to God. We can't come on the basis of the good works that we have done. In order for Cornelius or Peter or us to be saved, it's not enough to live a good life. It's not enough to pray. We must trust in Jesus and what he did for us at the cross. It is through his death, burial, and resurrection that we're saved. Apart from that, there is no salvation. Nobody comes to God on the basis of good works. Can't be done. Say, well, Cornelius did good works. Yes. And God was pleased. He was so pleased that he made sure Cornelius heard the gospel. Because you've got to hear the gospel and believe and trust in Jesus or you're not saved. Well, what about people who've never heard? Well, why haven't they heard? Well, nobody's told them. Well, then why don't you go tell them? That's the question that comes up in Romans. How will they hear without a preacher? Somebody has to tell them the good news. Peter had to go and tell Cornelius because God sent him. Now, God didn't send everybody to tell Cornelius. Okay? We're not all sent to Cornelius' house. But Peter was, and when he was told by God to go do that, he obeyed and went. Now, let's look for a moment at how the Lord communicated with Peter. Verse 9 of chapter 10, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, God's at work getting Peter ready. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And God caused him to fall into a trance and see a vision of all kinds of animals being lowered on a sheet down to earth. And God says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter looks at what's there and it's like, I can't do that. It's reptiles and birds of various kinds that he's not allowed to eat, and all these animals that are, well, they've got meat on them, but it's meat that I'm not allowed to eat. And notice Peter's response. I love this. Surely not, Lord, verse 14, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Peter was a grown man. And he had never violated the dietary rules. He was not one of the Pharisees. He was a fisherman. But he was a fisherman who feared God. And he had diligently observed the dietary laws. He said, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Now, that's important. Because we live in a culture where we pretty much think, you know, everybody does it. I mean, everybody's doing it. It's no big deal. I ought to be able to do this. I mean, as long as I don't do it too much, too often. You know, I really shouldn't have to do exactly what God says. Let me just tell you. If you know God says something, obey him. Say, well, we're not under law. We're under grace. Yes, we are, and therefore we ought to be all the more eager to do whatever pleases God. The Apostle Paul describes for us in great detail and explicit clarity the fact that people who do this and this and this and this, if you're living that lifestyle, you are not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. He will not be represented by people who are living in open rebellion against him. But God used this image, this startling image, to prepare Peter for what he was supposed to do. God said to him, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Now we could just linger there. None of us can be declared clean except by the agency of God. God's the only one who can take us. All of us were sinful, impure, unclean. God's the only one who makes us clean. The old wonderful song that asks the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's our only hope. That's our only source of cleansing is Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness. So, the Lord says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And it happened three times. So verse 17, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, stopped at the gate, called out asking if Simon, known as Peter, was staying there. And Peter isn't responding to what they're saying. That's what's going on downstairs. But what Peter responds to is something else. Verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, this is the Holy Spirit of God, said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. God used the vision to prepare him for what he was going to be explicitly told by the Holy Spirit. Again, not just an impression, direct command from God. Now sometimes God gives us an impression and we say, I believe the Lord's leading me to do this. And we find out as we do it whether or not we were right. But sometimes when it's a little more radical and we're going to have to go against what we've been taught and thought, God has to give us explicit instruction which will always be consistent with His Word. May not be consistent with tradition, may not be consistent with our personality or our feelings or our desires, but it is consistent with God's Word. And so Peter went downstairs and said, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Well, you've heard the story. They tell him about Cornelius, and Peter invited the men to be his guests. That was an astounding thing to do. The next day, Peter started out with them. Some of the brothers from Joppa went along. Following day, he arrived in Caesarea. And there's a meeting, large group that Cornelius has called together. Peter goes in and he has this exchange with Cornelius, followed by a presentation of the gospel. And he's not yet finished with his sermon when the Holy Spirit falls on the place. And these Gentiles begin to speak in tongues. Why? Well, because that's what God chose to do. Because what that did for Peter was make it abundantly clear that God has come upon them by His Spirit. And they are now part of the family of God. What was it about these people that would make them seem like they didn't really belong to the family? Well, the fact that they were Gentiles. On the one hand, Jesus had said that the gospel was to go forth through all the world. And yet, as God starts to do this thing, it is hard for the Jews to believe. And if you look in the letter to the Galatians, Peter would fall back and turn away and have to be rebuked to his face and brought to repentance. That's a warning to us. As unforgettable as this experience should have been, Peter gave in to pressure from other people. And wanting to fit in, be normal, be accepted, he disobeyed God. Turned his back on what God had shown him. Folks, on the one hand, if that can happen to Peter, it can happen to us. On the other hand, Peter had to be rebuked, and so must we if we turn back from what God has shown us. Finally, I want you to see that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, this made it very clear that God is not building a bunch of little bodies. He's building one body. And there's not to be division within the body. The Holy Spirit unites us. He makes us one. And so what Peter saw and what the people experienced was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit designed by God to break down barriers, not to create barriers. Not so that people would be divided and say, well, I belong to this group or I belong to that group, but so that we would recognize we are brothers and sisters, we're part of the same family. And folks, that is a lesson we must remember today. God has chosen to make us one. It is by His grace alone that we are saved. And it is His Spirit that makes us one family in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.